Hi, I'm Nigel Baker, and you're listening to The Future Financial Advisor. We're running this podcast to create an avenue for advisors to share their thoughts and their best interests and really trying to attract those advisors who want to take the industry forward. What we want is great businesses who are really making a difference and really making a big impact to their clients, and we want to know how they're doing it. So in this series, we're going to be discussing the latest digital platforms, some best practices, evidence-based investing strategies. We want to give financial advisors the tools they need to help more investors improve their financial well-being. So if you're ready to take the industry forward, modernise your advisory practice and reach a new generation of investors and the new generation of advisors, then this show is for you.
So all our recordings and podcasts are general advice. All the content, all the people interviewing here, it's all their own opinions and all their own views. In no way does it constitute any personal advice or recommendations. If you need specific advice, please go and seek an advisor. Thanks very much.
Hi, if you're a business owner in the financial services industry, either in a small or large business, you're going to love this interview. I found it really insightful. So today I interview Edwina Ogilvie. She's the director of Ogilvie Talent and specializes in recruitment for the financial services sector, professional services. So her career has spanned a few decades now, which we've known each other for over 20 years. So, but she's had experience in the big firms and small firms and her own business as well in recruitment and talent acquisition. She's worked with international and local consultancies, has spent time working with corporates in their talent teams. She's recruited across a range of disciplines from entry level to leadership, executive positions, sales, marketing, finance, and accounting, project management and administration. In 2017, she started her own business. So we can all resonate with that, those of us who have been through that journey. And she's recruiting talent for private businesses and professional services firms. She now focuses mainly on family offices and family businesses. She finds networking and connecting with people part of her natural habitat, and she really enjoys what she does. You'll see this in the interview. She's really passionate about what she does, and I found so many great points out of this, of running a business. I mean, I failed in the people side, and people are so important, and even listening to Edwina, there's so many things I learned today over the last 10 years of running my own business and being in senior executive roles in the 10 or so years before that. So really welcome, Edwina. I'm really sure you're going to enjoy today's interview and get a lot out of it. Edwina's details will be in the podcast and in the notes as well if you'd like to contact her direct. Well, hi. Welcome, everyone. Really excited to be here today with Edwina Ogilvie. And Edwina, welcome. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you, Nigel. Thank you for having me on the podcast.
Brilliant. Great to have you here. Now, I've obviously known you for, well, probably over 20 years now, which makes us probably sound a bit older than we are, maybe. But for the benefit of everyone listening, you know, what is your story?
So my story is that I have had a successful career in recruitment or talent acquisition, as it's now called. I've worked with international firms, local consultancies, and have spent time within corporates in their talent teams. And I've recruited across a range of disciplines, but I've settled now in 2017. I started my own business and I recruit for business and professional service firms. And now I am focusing specifically on family offices and family businesses. I find networking and connecting people is my natural habitat. And I really live for that tingle or that moment when I find the right person or the right talent, the right role.
Yeah, brilliant. I mean, I think there's going to be a lot to learn from today for the audience. A lot of them own their own business. They might have they might be self-practices. They might be part of a big organisation. So, you know, your experience in just starting your own business as well, but also this, you know, at the moment, this talent, we've gone through an interesting time in the world. And all the businesses I speak to, one of the biggest issues is staff. It's always around staff. So, you know, I suppose, you know, is it true that you see that there's a big shortage of talent in the finance sector? And what are the key reasons for that? If that's the case?
The short answer is yes. There's definitely a shortage of talent in Australia at the moment overall, and I feel the finance sector is not immune to this. There's great disruption at the moment to how we work, when we work, and what we expect from the work that we do. And I think you can look at that in terms of there are some acute sort of short-term factors that are contributing to the shortage of talent post the pandemic. And then I think there are some longer-term issues that have probably been bubbling away under the surface for a while now, but are really starting to show and will contribute ongoing to the shortage of talent. So if you look at some sort of short-term factors, more acutely, I think, post this pandemic, you've got just workforce burnout, people who are overwhelmed, anxious, and depressed, and they're willing to resign. There's location changes that have occurred. People have lost their jobs and their benefits, and they've been forced out of cities, or perhaps they needed to care for families and have had to move back home, be that in Australia or, some people moved out of the country. The lack of immigration, obviously, we've had 2 years now of zero immigration, and that's causing a shortage of talent. And then there's the great resignation, which I'm sure that your listeners have now heard about, or if they haven't, they should go and start reading about. And it's a movement that has come around as a result of the pandemic where, people are burnt out, they're disengaged, and they're looking for more meaningful work. And if they don't get this, they are going to resign. And, I read today actually that they think that half the workforce in Australia will simply leave their jobs. So I think that there's some short-term factors that people need to consider. And then if you look at some long-term issues that will cause this shortage in talent, I think that the biggest thing that we're facing is this a term I heard yesterday called the power of personal agency, which is essentially referring to the fact that the employee now has a voice and they are shaping their own employment experiences. And they want things that are meaningful. They won't settle for employment that doesn't meet their terms. You know, if we look at research, employees want flexibility. They want organisations who show they're engaged with social matters. They want to address work-life balance, mental health. The list does go on.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I mean, it's very different to when we entered the workforce, eh?
It is. When we entered the workforce, your employer provided the structure for you. It provided your career development, whereas now this power of personal agency or this voice that the employee has means that they're driving those. So organisations have to be agile and they have to adapt. Otherwise, you're not going to get the talent that is still left in the market.
Yeah. And the big organisations can... you've worked in some of these big organisations and so have I, and they can sort of, they've got resources to put a lot of time and energy into these sort of things, and that's still a challenge. But for a small and medium-sized enterprise, how do they counter that when, they don't have the resources, they don't have HR teams, how do they satisfy that need?
Look, that is the never-ending question, I think, of every business owner, because you're the jack of all trades and the master of none. But exactly. You need to be good at all things. But I just truly think you have to prioritise this as part of your agenda. Your attraction and retention policy needs to be given time. Now, I guess in this market you can hire that in if you need to for the short term to address some of the key needs. Or if you don't have that luxury, then you need to start reading and you need to start learning, because there is a huge shortage of talent in Australia. And if your business is going to be around, if you're going to sort of future-proof your business and be around in the next 10 years, it needs to be addressed.
Yeah. Now, I'm going a little bit off the agenda, and I told you we would, so because this is really fascinating. I suppose the main business I speak to are, my sort of size, up to maybe 10 sort of partner-type firms in professional services. So, and they're really struggling with this. Like, do they have to be totally flexible? Do they have to offer all sorts of benefits? Like, what are you seeing out there in terms of your recruiting talent, are they coming to you saying, look, I'll only work for companies that do this and meet my values? Or is it the employers saying, to compete, they're saying, oh, we also support these charities? Or, you know, what's going on out there?
Well, look, I think it's both. I mean, candidates or potential employees are definitely coming to me with well thought out ideas about who they want to work for and what benefits they want offered and what type of organisations they want to work for. So more than ever before, there's great clarity amongst employees on what they want. So yes, I do feel that, you know, as employers, you've just got to spend the time thinking about, you know, your employer value proposition, for example. Some of the things that will attract and secure the right people are, you know, your employer value proposition, for example. Now, this defines the why for a potential employee out in the market. And companies that boldly reimagine their company culture and their employer branding strategies, which is your EVP or employee value proposition, essentially, will attract talent. If you don't look at this and beat the drum for your company through the right tools, you're not going to attract talent through your doors. You know, you need to spend time looking at your company remuneration policy. You know, the million-dollar question, I know, but where do you sit in relation to your competitors? And where do you need to sit to be competitive in a talent-short market? A really practical and easy way to sort of solve that problem is if you're designing a role or deciding where to put a role in terms of remuneration, go into a search engine, a job board, do a search as if you were a candidate in that salary bracket and see what comes up. You know, what roles are out there in the market? What are you competing against? And are you providing an attractive proposition?
Yeah, that's a really good tip. You know, so actually go in there, pretend you're searching for that role. And the traditional online search agencies, do they still work? I mean, do you really need to be different today if you're looking for the right talent? Yeah.
I think that in terms of attraction strategy, you need to be looking at more than simply a job board. Yes, recruiters are absolutely have a place, and I know there's the age-old thing that they're a cost, but I could talk for hours about the long-term gain you will get. And as professionals, they spend their day networking with passive and active job seekers. And the passive job market is huge these days. So, that's a huge advantage they bring to the table. I think in addition to online traditional job boards, networking should be a big part of a strategy when looking to fill a role and also when you're not actively recruiting a role.
Yeah, I received some advice from someone recently and they said you should always be looking. just constantly be looking the whole time, because you can't just say, oh, I need a job now. You've just got to be constantly talking, hey, we're hiring, because you just don't know who you're going to meet.
That's so, so true. Some companies I know, Nigel, are actually putting time aside on a weekly basis for networking. So, you know, and with LinkedIn as a professional platform, there really is no excuse these days in terms of not having the avenue with which to do that. It doesn't take a lot on a weekly basis, but it's important to engage with your future potential audience with relevant material. And again, going back to, what you're offering as an employee, you know, it's a lot easier to do that in a networking environment when perhaps the role is not active. It's just a few phone calls with people who are already existing in your network. It's a very, very valuable, or should be a very valuable tool in your attraction of potential new staff. Oh, the one thing I will just, before you go on, I will just say, when you look at looking at LinkedIn, please get a professional photo done for your profile. I know that's, you know, it should be a given these days, but it still isn't. And it really detracts from your profile if it's not there.
Absolutely. So I assume we've had success and the business has found someone good and been able to get them on board. The next challenge is the whole retention game. So, you know, what do you see the concerns out there to say, okay, now we've got these good people, or how do we manage that? How do we keep them engaged? How do we not let the, I mean, because it's such an aggressive marketplace, right? You know, you've got talent. Well, they're out at a networking event and one of your competitors saying, hey, you're pretty good. Come and chat to us. So how do you keep them on board?
Yeah. I feel that in this day and age, retention is also very, very important. In a candidate short market, I think that the biggest way that you're going to retain staff is upskilling. It'll be your strongest retention tool in this post-pandemic market. There's just no debate anymore about whether you should or should not invest in upskilling or, providing learning opportunities. It gives talent a reason to stay or a reason to come back. And those those companies that are providing the recognition of an employee's value, particularly now when people are overworked and overwhelmed, will retain talent. Candidates want their skills advanced, their careers moved forward, and where there's a gap, to fill it. So, you know, I think what this looks like for the companies that you're talking about is that, you know, you need to talk to your employees, do surveys anecdotally or formally to find out what they need. And then you need to deploy meaningful learning opportunities that, cater to a range of ways that people learn. There are a lot of different ways that you can deliver learning these days. And bring in learning and development capability if you can, in terms of, you know, again, hiring a short-term professional to navigate what that looks like for you. Or if you've got the funds, you know, hiring someone longer term. I listened to some research yesterday by PwC, and one of the speakers said she thinks that's the should be the top talent recruited in 2022 is learning and development professionals. Because when you go back to where you came from, this retention piece, that's how you will retain staff.
It's massively challenging. And again, from my own experience and talking to other business owners, you're out there, you know, running a business, finding clients, winning clients, and suddenly you're building a team, and it's a totally different skill set. And not many of us have that, right? So we're different. We're not HR people, and trying to then say, okay, what do they need? It's a different landscape to when we perhaps started. It was a bit of sink and swim. Like if you can get in there and have a go and work hard, you'll probably succeed. But totally different environment, totally different generation coming through. That's all for valid reasons. And also we've had COVID. So, you know, it's not easy. So, you know, for these small to medium-sized businesses, trying to find the right people to help them is, I think, a massive challenge. And actually being willing to invest, because if you don't, you won't get them and you'll lose them, right?
You absolutely. Look, if I had a dollar for every new potential candidate or employee that comes to me, 10 out of 10 are saying, I want learning opportunities. I want them to invest in me so that I can advance my career. And if you're not listening to that, you know, and someone down the road is, you know, offering, for example, I heard again yesterday of organisations who are on a weekly basis blocking out time for learning for their employees. You know, some up to a day a week, as part of their, you know, employment is invested in their own learning. Now, that's going to have a whole lot of ramifications, I know, but the voice, again, the voice of the employee is saying, this is what I want.
It's so true. Like, I've just had that experience here where we've gone to a weekly training session and they're just saying, we have more. Okay, let's make that a priority.
I think if you don't look at upskilling as your main retention tool in 2020, you are going to be in perhaps a more painful place. 2022 rather, we are, sorry. You're going to be in a painful place next year.
Yeah, because you mentioned there, you've put a few things down. We're sort of talking about attracting and retaining. You've talked about the employee value proposition. Remuneration is obviously pretty important. I mean, people talk about that's not the most important thing. I don't know. I think we're seeing now a fair bit of pressure on remuneration as well, because people know that this competitive landscape, right? Are you seeing that remuneration, people try to say it's not important, but is it? I mean, yes, the other values need to line up, but how important is ramming that piece?
I would say to you that, you know, with this rising of the employee voice, there is a shift in sentiment definitely around the importance of remuneration. When it comes to crunch time, and if someone's sitting with two offers on the table, there's no doubt that a financial increase is a benefit. But if employers start to look at all the other ways they can offer benefits that are aligning with what this new employee is asking for, you will attract talent and you will be able to retain them. So employees want to work for organisations who are having a social impact. You know, I saw yesterday that Commonwealth Bank has got an advertisement out which is talking about financial hardship, and it's targeting women. You know, well, that's something that directly targeted towards myself, and you know, that definitely made me think, wow, what a Commonwealth Bank are standing for something that appeals, and that's what people want to see.
Yeah, to your point, I was actually talking to a really big accounting group last week, and they're one of those aggregators, so they've bought all these firms over the last 10 or 20 years. And they'll just try to make this a consistent story that everyone in the company, whether you're in Tasmania or Queensland or Perth, had the same experience. It was something they hadn't really done a lot of work in before, so they were really struggling to get everyone on the same page. So it's interesting, isn't it? It's a challenge. As I said before, we're sort of focused on that's more the medium size, but the big companies are really finding this a big challenge as well.
Hugely. I think it's hitting every... or it's impacting all companies, whether you're big or small. But I think sometimes, you know, the smaller companies have an ability to be more adaptable and more agile. So you've actually got a real opportunity here to, you know, make some changes quickly and have some impact. Whereas, you know, sometimes bigger organisations, you know, can take a little while to get everybody's approval before we move ahead on things.
Yeah, that's a good point there. I mean, we're nimble, you can make a decision, you can get it going. If we want to change our strategy, we can do it today, whereas a big company could take 6 months. Yeah. Well, it's awesome. Like, I think everyone listening will, I think, resonate exactly what you're talking about, and hopefully finding this really helpful. But if we move on and say, well, if you look at out there and you've seen some great businesses, no doubt, through your career, and we read about other big companies, you know, when you've got good companies that are really doing this well, they've got great culture, they've got great systems in place, you know, we've seen some examples of this in your journey.
Absolutely. I think there are many great cultures that exist in the Australian market. One that comes to mind, I think, which was a great disruptor, was Atlassian. You know, they really came into the market with a bang and caused lots of disruption. They were focused on outputs from employees from the beginning rather than, you know, expecting people to be seen and in at work. They created great workspaces that were agile, flexible and fun. And they offered hybrid and remote working options. Now, those sound fairly standard now, but when they entered the market, that they were definitely ahead of the curve. Culture and is so important, and I think you can, you know, it should also be reflected in your hiring process. So if you go back to sort of this issue around talent, we could also look at Google as an organisation who've really looked at their hiring process and starting to embed their culture through their hiring process. So, and as you would know, they still continue to attract and retain employees. You know, in fact, people really are waiting at the door to get in. So they did a lot of research around the culture of their interview process. And I think employers need to look at their hiring process in general in this market with less or a shortage of talent. But Google decided on 4 interviews to keep the candidate engaged and to avoid losing talent and money. I have clients who, you know, interview once and make a hire, and then I have clients who interview 6 to 7 times. So there's a huge discrepancy there. But if you go back to looking at Google and a defined interview process that has a 4-stepped process with a clear objective, ensures people are informed and that the purpose of the interview is clear, and where feedback is measured via standard formats, shows that a company's is vested in the experience that the employee is having when they first come to see you. And if you establish that, then your streaks ahead in terms of retaining that talent. Your company culture is unique to you, and as long as it's meaningful to the talent that you are wanting to attract, you need to get ready to use your culture as a means of securing talent.
Yeah, really fascinating. I think we can learn from that, because there's a lot of those things we can copy. I mean, those big firms have done it really well, and they've spent a lot of time, probably millions of dollars of research. So there's nothing stopping the smaller firms actually using that same process. I mean, they've done the hard work for us, right? But people will still go, and you must see people go, interview once, hire the next day, and then they realize they've got a problem in 3 months' time, and they haven't really been through it decent enough.
You haven't asked the right questions. And I think, Nigel, too, that just reminds me that with technology around recruitment these days, it's all about speeding up the process and making it a better process. But I'd really like people to remember that recruitment takes time, and recruitment is dealing with people. You need to talk to people. You need to understand them and listen to them. And that takes time. And that's where, that's why I'm employed, because I have the time to spend all day digging beyond the surface, so that, when someone comes to you, I know more about them that will help you retain them for a longer period of time. I know it's time consuming, and I know that, again, is something that your listeners may not necessarily have. But if you invest in that time up front with a defined interview process and a proper hiring process that gives the candidate a good, a good experience, you will retain them.
And it's always been true, I think, now more than ever. And some of the listeners here are also maybe in that entrepreneur space where, they're trying to juggle it all and really trying to work out really quickly where their skill set is. And if they're a founder and they can hustle, they can sell, then they're probably not the best HR person. But they'll try and do it. I've tried to do it and failed miserably. I've realised that that's not my. I'm not great at that. But
look, it's recruiting is a skill, and it's a time consuming skill. But if you do it properly, and if you ask the right questions, and if you provide the employee or the potential employee with a good experience, and you can match what they're looking for, you will attract and retain the right talent.
That's really good, really helpful. So some good learnings there, I think, and particularly looking at some of these big organisations that do really well, and getting help, being honest about your role and saying, I need to get an expert to help me with this.
Absolutely.
Now we're going off talking to a lot of the big companies all the time, the big instos, the banks in our world, it's the big fund managers, I suppose, and some of the big banks. And it's interesting talking to the people we're dealing with, and then he's talked to some of the higher management. And the higher management is saying, I just want everyone back in the office. And the staff, I suppose, are saying, I don't want to get back to work just yet. So our next little topic there was about, post-COVID, how do we manage that? Because, we've gone from a come to work, sit in an office all day to work from home, be flexible. And now I can see this bit of tension going on. Like, in small to medium business, I think we can manage that quite well, because we've sort of worked that flexibility is actually really positive. But I'm seeing that tension start to happen. There's different conversations I'm seeing from different levels of executives. Are you seeing that, and how do you think people should manage this?
So, look, I don't hold a crystal ball, but I would definitely say that the current opinion is or would suggest that workforces will remain flexible into the future. There is a contingent of people who are clinging to the traditional work model, but I really feel that businesses need to adapt or they're going to die. You need to be agile, you need to be prepared to change and transform so that you can be, your business will be here for the foreseeable future, because employees, opinion is that they want to, the workforce to remain flexible.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting transition back to maybe, a more the old world, but I think, I think as you're saying, most people are going to need just to keep some sort of flexibility to retain people. And surely there's some positives out of that. I think being stuck in an office all day every day isn't the best way to work on it.
No, it's not. Well, I mean, look at what we're doing today. Like, I'm sitting in the comfort of my own home.
Technology. Never have worn a t-shirt to work 2 years ago. I've got my Zoom shirt around. It's just different. It's far
more conducive to a relaxed conversation, and I think that's when creativity, comes into play. So, I think it's good. In terms of it, I guess what businesses are doing to adapt to the new world, so hiring people online, etc. I would suggest that businesses do look at technology and how this can enhance the employee experiences. When you look at attracting talent, this means at a tactical level, as I mentioned before, having your LinkedIn company page set up and your personal profiles done. You need to look at how you're using social media, in terms of your relevant target audience. I heard that 68% of potential employees are using Twitter to find themselves a new job. Now, that actually really surprised me.
I wouldn't have thought that.
No, but where is your audience? Are they on Twitter? Are they on Facebook? What other platforms are they using? I think you need to look at that. In conjunction with other more traditional ways, job boards do have a place, but your company website, it needs to communicate your key messages and attract talent for you. Video, we need to mention video in terms of the attraction of talent. People want to engage with your business before they actually see you. And I place ads all the time. And, those that don't have a video promoting the company, I would say get less of a response. And then, now people are using video to assess applications. So that's another, technology that you can look at to help you adapt and get this new talent that we need to find. The virtual interview as well is a much faster way to engage with talent. So once you've actually got them through the door, or rather they've applied through whatever means you've advertised, I guess, you can move quickly on a virtual interview. It's your time to fill is greatly reduced because you can do it at times that suit you and the candidate, and that may not be traditional working hours. And you can meet people from all over Australia, all over the world. So, I think that will help with your attraction using all these different types of technologies that are available to us. Managing teams remotely is now sort of a big issue, or not issue, but a big consideration for organisations. And managing the remote worker looks different, but it's our new reality. So I think that employers need to set up clear working policies and new rules of engagement for this environment. You need to ensure that there's you know, information is easily accessible for them when they're working from home, and that they have, again, this technology piece, I guess, sort of rich technological experiences from their working home environment that makes it easy to connect and be part of your organization or the teams that they're in. And you need to provide people with, you know, regular check-ins on a daily basis, and opportunities for social engagement. You know, there are organizations, again, that I know that are small and large organizations who are, you know, connecting through virtual pizza, you know, virtual pizza parties, trivia events on Friday nights, and some are even just setting aside times to just have regular banter, so that people feel connected and part of an organisation.
Wow, that's been really amazing, Edwin. Any key points you wanted to summarise with about what businesses should be really focusing on, two or three key points as they manage this going forward? For me personally, it's been really fascinating listening to you. I know what you do, but just running a business, people is the biggest challenge. When you start a business and you get going, it just keeps changing, finding people, then managing them, and as you keep growing, it is number one, absolutely. You said it a few times, people is everything. Yes, you've got to manage other parts of the business, but if you don't get the people part right, your business just will fail and it's never grow. So there's been so many great things today I think will be really helpful for everyone, and you know, like we do to our clients, we say to them, hey, come and use an expert. Then I strongly believe that businesses need to realise where their skill set is and look to experts like you who can help them not only, you know, attract but also retain that talent as well. But yeah, any sort of last comments that you want to leave with the audience as a final, you know, just final point?
There are a few things, you know, you need to listen to your employees and you need to adapt and change. And, you know, people are your biggest asset. And without them, you won't sustain the growth of your business into the future. So, you know, it's time to adapt. We're in a phase of transition. And perhaps, you know, look at the next 2022 as an opportunity to experiment a little bit with what you're doing. We're all going to make mistakes, but we'll also have some successes. So, you know, we need to give, after such an acute period of change, we need to give ourselves a little bit of reprieve, I think, and just experiment a little bit, see where we land, and your attraction and retention strategy needs to be your number one priority. People are your biggest asset, and without them, you won't sustain growth for the future.
I mean, people, having a strategy in place, really thinking about your recruitment and retention. The social world we're in is really important. So I think some of the points I've got at you is, I think a lot of, particularly, you know, all businesses are probably not smart enough in that space in terms of the message they're sending out, and is it consistent for existing staff as well? And just the heart, you know, the effort, you've got to think differently these days. It is a bit of a different world, and but also you need to get help. Like you need to realize that, you know, you can't handle all this yourself. And if you're running a business, you're trying to grow it, you can't try and do everything, and you will make mistakes. I've made some massive mistakes with staff because I was focused on that, thinking, hey, is everyone happy with growing? And you're leaving this mess behind you, and they're just going, hey, I just want more time. It's like managing kids so much, isn't it? You know, you've got to really...
Absolutely. But, you know, listen to your employees that you do have and take care of them to keep them, upskill, do what's necessary to provide them, you know, if it's flexibility or if it's looking at mental health, whatever that may be. And, you know, best of luck for moving into 2023.
Well, thanks so much, Edwina. It's been a real pleasure to have you on the podcast. It's been fantastic. Really appreciate your time. And obviously we'll have all your contact details there if anyone wants to reach out to you. I hope that's okay, direct.
Absolutely. Cool. Please, I'd be delighted to help.
You've been listening to The Future Financial Advisor.
So if you've been enjoying the show, please make sure to share it with your network and leave a review on your favourite listening platform. Or if you've got some ideas or thoughts or would like to come on as a guest or know someone who would be a great guest, then please let me know. To learn more about Scientium, just go to our website, scientium.com.au, or look me up on LinkedIn. Look forward to speaking with you and see you on the next episode.